Blog Talk Radio. This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
Hi, this is Steve. Welcome to another exciting episode of Thriving Entrepreneur. I am just so excited today to be able to introduce to you my new sponsor, the VTech 4-Line Small Business Phone. It's the most affordable and easiest to install 4-Line phone system on the market today. I mean, we're talking about the phone that can revolutionize your small business as you grow. Now, we're going to be talking more about this over the next few weeks that come and just how cool this phone is. It allows you the ability to just plug into electricity and expand up to 10 different lines. You know, you've got 4 incoming lines with auto attendant on each of them, separate mailboxes for the extensions in your business. So many fun, cool features. Like you said, this is by far the easiest 4-line phone system for your small business. Check it out, the VTech 4-line small business phone system. Now let's talk about sales. I know everybody cringes whenever I talk about it being another week for us to talk about sales, but the truth of the matter is sales actually is a lot of fun. And if you care about people, then actually you're going to find yourself becoming more and more proficient and an expert at sales. The reason being is because rather than struggling with selling, we need to learn that it is really truly all in the questions that we ask and then listening to the answers. So for example, if you were to ask a question with a response that you don't want, you might ask a question that's something like, is there any reason why you wouldn't want this? Well, our minds immediately are then going to go to all the reasons why I wouldn't want this, rather than asking a question like, what are 3 ways that we could make this happen for you today? Well, now they're going to try to come up with 3 reasons how you could make it work. It's all about the right kind of questions. Now, to help us really understand asking the right questions, I'm so delighted to be joined by a very, very special guest, CC Clark, the Director of Global Sales for Motivating the Masses. I just can't even begin to tell you how powerful of a businesswoman in her own right CC is. And she actually oversees the sales globally for Motivating the Masses. You know, that little company that's publicly traded now, the very first ever publicly traded coaching and motivational sales company. We are talking about a lady who knows how to ask questions and get good responses. So I'd like you all to join me in welcoming CC Clark. Hi, CC. How are you today?
Hello, Steve. I am phenomenal and getting better.
Oh, great. So for those of us who have not had the privilege of spending the last 6 months in 90 and different things where we've seen and met each other, tell us a little bit about your background.
Oh, my gosh. It's funny. Let me tell you about today. Today I have the pleasure of being the Director of Global Sales for Motivating the Masses, which is the founder of NN90. And Motivating the Masses, we are one of the country's fastest growing training and development companies. We touch over 36 million people every year with our brand. So we do pretty phenomenal work, and so much so that, you know, we have the distinct pleasure that we are the only company in the public in the personal development space that is a publicly held company, which we're very proud of. And in fact, we're only the second company in history of America, that is, to have an African-American female as its CEO. So we are, you know, really, really excited. excited about the things that we are up to. And I have the distinct pleasure of, you know, just leading a team of salespeople there. But I'm going to tell you, Steve, my sales background started a bit more humbly. I laugh because, you know, typically when people ask me, like, what was your first sales job? What was your first job as an entrepreneur? I have to laugh and tell them I started by selling Pac-Man-shaped French fries. Literally. I used to literally cut up the potatoes, cut in the shape of a Pac-Man, fry them up and sell them to kids and folks in our neighborhood. And Steve, I tell you, I absolutely loved it because, like, I just love the idea of taking something that I was passionate about, French fries. I love eating French fries. I love making them. And then using them to make money. So from that point, I promise you, I was probably in the fourth grade. From that point, I was hooked. It had to be entrepreneur. It had to be sales. It had to be, you know, something in that realm. But then, of course, I got a little bit more serious with my sales career. And after, you know, both undergrad and graduate school, I started in telecom sales. And you know, I started, you know, with that real hustle, that grind of trying to sell long-distance services. Steve, do you remember back when we used to actually have to pay for long-distance?
Oh, I know. You had to decide right. Whether that person was important enough to call.
Exactly. And like, back in the day, you had a choice of providers. And so, you know, I was working with all these providers trying to get people to subscribe to our long-distance service. It was pretty awesome. And then my telecom career grew, and I became eventually the director of global sales for AT&T. And I really managed the vertical for media for their top, you know, so for their top 10 clients that were in the media vertical, I managed those accounts and, you know, really grew those. So those were, you know, $20, $30, $40 million sales. It was, you know, phenomenal experience. And then, you know, became a lobbyist, which of course is another sales position, if you will. Became a lobbyist in Washington and looked to drive, you know, economic and financial development and a dilapidated corridor in Washington, D.C., and then stayed in real estate after that, developed my own real estate business, grew that from $0 to $5 million in about 36 months, and then the rest from there is history. A lot of consulting, a lot of, you know, sales coaching and sales strategizing and consulting, you know, just really helping corporations and companies and entrepreneurs really get their products to the person or persons that it's really meant for. So that's a little bit about me.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun stuff. I really related when you were talking about selling the Pac-Man French fries.
I'm telling you, I think that was my most fun sales position ever.
Well, and I always tell people, you know, I started selling when I was five. Literally, I was a five-year-old kid, and, you know, I came tootling up to my mom, and I'm like, well, can I sell the cards and napkins? And you know how it is with your five-year-olds. You know, you're like, oh, yeah, sure, honey, here, you know.
Uh-huh.
And put this little bag together of them, and I came back with an empty bag and a pocket full of money.
I love it.
You know, ever since then, I've been hooked. At some point down the line, we have to stop relying on the power of cuteness and actually learn some sales skills. It's all in the quality of your questions. I just love that phrase. It's resonated with me since the very first time I heard you say it. So talk to us a little bit about the importance of asking questions in a selling process.
I'll tell you, let me do this. Before I talk a little bit about that, I really want to talk about why we even sell in the first place. You know, I know a lot of, you know, our listeners, especially at eWomen, shout out to eWomen, love you guys. A lot of our listeners, sometimes we have a little bit of resistance about sales or a little bit of hesitancy around sales. And so I just really like to get people reminded about why we even sell in the first place, you know. And for me, Steve, you know, I sell because I love what I do. You know, I sell because it really gives me the freedom, you know, to do the work that I love to do without ever having to stress over money. You know, so because I get to share more of the things that I'm passionate about with the world, you know, and, you know, I get to spend time, you know, doing things that are important to me. I love being with my friends. You know, I have friends all around the world. I love spending time with them. I love volunteering. I love being in the outdoors. I love traveling. You know, selling allows me to do that. You know, and I think more than anything, selling me allows to, you know, it's like I get to make a choice to make more money so that I can go about living my life and not worrying about making a living. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. You know, working as a waitress or you're working as a doctor, those are trading time for money kind of situations.
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, there are more millionaire salespeople than millionaire doctors. Go look it up, right?
Mm.
So, but, you know, your fastest, quickest route to your million or your next million is selling, right? It's really selling. And the foundation of selling is what you really talked about in the beginning, which is the quality of those questions. Because in sales, to whom you're selling is 10 times more important than what you're selling. So questions really kind of tell us who it is we're selling to. You know, questions really tell us what it is that person likes or what that person dislikes. So we can stay away from that. You know, selling tells us what's important to that person. You know, selling can tell us how to even sell, or questions can tell us how to even sell to them in the first place.
People will tell you what they're looking for if you give them a way to be able to say it, and then you actually listen to what they're saying.
And you actually listen. Boy, is that the key, right? If you actually listen, because, like, and what I typically teach my clients is, like, listen, when you listen, you guide clients to buying rather than yourself to selling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what happens when you truly, truly listen to a person. You know, and I think the other big thing that I would say about, you know, why we really need to ask questions in the selling process, and I think this is, might be one of the core reasons, is you really have to convert what a person, they kind of imply that they need, they might like to have, it'd be a nice to have. You want to convert that to something explicit that they're saying, no, I must have this, right? So, you know, a person, if you were selling coaching, for example, you know, a person saying, you know, it'd be nice to have more clients. Oh, well, if, you know, and so many people will think, oh, well, if it'd be nice to have more clients, and they want my coaching because I can teach them to get more clients. When the reality is, they just imply that it'd be nice to have more clients. You really need to, in questions, you really get the opportunity to convert that to an explicit need where they're telling you explicitly, no, I need, you know, 20 clients a month at this dollar amount in order to make my revenue goal. That's an explicit need. And questions allow you to convert that implication to that explicit need. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does a lot. You know, Don Crowther even said a couple of weeks ago when he was on the show that it's okay for us to find out that the person isn't our customer too. And questions allow us that too. So if the person's like, I don't have a need for that product, okay, that's good to know.
Absolutely, because the reality is, you know, sales comes from a Greek word for the word service, right?
Mm.
So if we're not able to serve them, we have no right trying to sell to them in the first place, right?
Mm.
So like you said, sales is really going to allow us that. And when we've discovered early on in the process that we can't serve them, then it's our responsibility to thank them for their time and move on to the next person who is waiting for us to serve them, who's waiting for our product, who's waiting for our service, who's waiting for our coaching, who's waiting for, you know, our training, who's waiting for our product, whatever it may be. You know, we have a responsibility to to move on quickly to that very next person.
So I think it's really important for us to acknowledge the fact that questions are, well, they're really impactful in selling, but they're really impactful in our communication with people. And
oh,
one
absolutely.
Of the biggest things that I think we can learn if we become good at selling, salesperson that we want to see a person become, this is really about a person who cares so deeply about other people that if they can meet their needs, they then want to help them meet that need. That's what I know I'm talking about, and I know Cece's talking about when we're talking about being an excellent salesperson.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, anything else drags you down. I truly believe that those people in those plaid jackets that you talked about, I truly believe internally they're not happy. They're not passionate about what they do. You know, they would not lay on their deathbed and say, I wish I had done more of that. Like, it, you know, I think that, you know, it truly impacts our lives and our futures and the future of our children when we share something that we're passionate about, period. You know, one of the things that I love about the type of selling that I do, and I am unapologetic about my offerings, because I know on the other end of every single dollar that I make, I know it's somebody's breakthrough. I know it's the success of somebody's business. I know that it has provided a financial future for somebody's child. I know what my work does. So I'm not apologetic about it. And I want more people to have that. Right? And I really think if you are providing something that you know works, then you have to be unashamed, unapologetic, and you have to get that message out there to the right people, as big and loud and bold as you possibly can.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, I think that's the perfect place for us to take our first commercial break. I want y'all to think about, why are you doing what you're doing and how passionate are you about that? Just think about that during this commercial break, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. My theme for the year is Say Yes to Success. And guess what? Our annual International Conference and Business Expo that's coming up August 6th through the 9th, we're going to have not only a wonderful lineup of speakers and thought leaders like CNN's Soledad O'Brien or Matthew Knowles, the famous father of the famous Beyonce, and Jean Smart from Designing Women, but this year you are going to be part of the experience. This is one of, if not the only conference that will balance your experience between learning from the wisdom of great speakers to hands-on living it through laser coaching, journaling, and interacting and sharing with other conference attendees. Oh yeah, and we have the best party in town on Saturday night, dancing till you drop to one of the best bands in Dallas. Visit eWomenNetwork.com for details and how you can be part of this life-changing experience as you embrace your yes to success.
Beautiful job, eWomen!
Are you ready to be a celebrity expert in your field? Are you your own best-kept secret? Do you have talents you want to share with the world? Are you ready to be seen as an authority? Do you have a message you need to share with the world? You know to your core you can help people if you could just reach them. Kathy and I want to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. Are you ready for this? How would you like to be recognized on top media outlets? What would becoming an Amazon bestseller do for your business? How many people could you inspire? And it doesn't take a lifetime. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take months. In fact, in just 60 minutes, you will become a celebrity expert in your field. In 30 days, you will be a best-selling author, and you will be seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox, and the Wall Street Journal. How does this work? Well, you'll be interviewed on our show, Thriving Entrepreneur, which will then be broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and many others, as well as promoted to a network that has a database of over 500,000 people. Your expert interview will be published in your very own book, which is guaranteed to hit best-selling author status on Amazon. Your name and the book title will appear in major media outlets, including ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN. We can guarantee that. Plus, as a bonus, you'll get a custom social media package to promote your book and an MP3 of your interview with 5 key tips on how you can repurpose the content for marketing and sales. Don't be the best kept secret. Get ready to play an A game and be the authority in your field. Go to wehelpyouthrive.com and click on the authority package to get yours today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
We're back. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today to Thriving Entrepreneur. I'm here with Cece Clark, and we are talking about the quality of your questions and about becoming empowered in the sales process. Now, here's some good news for you that we shared with you in the last segment, and that's that we aren't talking about you being somebody who has to go out and live out of integrity. So Cece and I are going to talk to you today more about asking the right kind of questions and how that can impact your ability to serve more people. So Cece, what is the power behind asking the right kind of question?
Oh, you know what, Steve? I think the power that you have in asking the right kinds of questions, and we'll talk a little bit later about what those questions are, but it really helps you tell your potential buyers. It really helps you understand their model of the world, right, and how they process information. You know, you can, so let me explain what I mean by that. So some people are visual, right, and they need to see things in order to be able to make a decision. Some people are kinesthetic. They need to touch it. I heard you say earlier you interviewed Lisa Nichols, right? Lisa is probably the most kinesthetic person I've ever met. She needs to touch everything and flip it and roll it around and you know, and experience it. You know, some people are auditory. You know, some people, they need to hear it. They need to hear it over and over again. They need to close their eyes, and they really need to hear it. You know, and so by asking the right questions, you can, and listening, again, we talked about that earlier, you can really tell a person's model of the world, you know, which of these make the most sense for them. So, for example, you know, you might hear a person say, you know, I see what you're saying. What I'm really looking for is, well, Steve, obviously that's a person that's visual. So you want to mirror back to them, you know, in a way that your description of whatever you are offering is a very visual description, right? Mm-hmm. Or if they say, you know, I get a feeling that what I'm really, you know, what I really want is, well, that's a person who is kinesthetic. You know, that's a person that you have to allow them to feel it, to touch it. You know, and even if you're on the telephone, you have to describe to them what the experience is like. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And so you know, by asking, you know, the power of asking questions is really being able to listen for their buying strategies, you know, and just listening to what they say about other things that they've purchased in the past.
I've gotten to the place where I talk a lot less in a sales conversation. I just let the person talk. And I found that eventually they'll just tell you what they're looking for, whether it's something that you can provide to them or you know you can't provide to them.
Yeah, the best salespeople are the ones that listen again, because we said it guides them into them buying. You don't have to sell to a person who wants to buy from you, right? You know, you don't have to buy for a person you know, who wants to buy for you. So, you know, so one of my things that I say, you know, if a person is visual, you want to tell them what they're going to see. If a person, if you learn that a person is kinesthetic, like I say, you want to describe the feeling. Or if a person is auditory, you know, and an auditory person is going to say things like, oh, I hear what you're saying. Oh, that sounds like it makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right, that's an auditory person. You want to tell them what it sounds like or what other people have said, you know, in sales. We call these your primary representational system. And I know it's a whole lot of words, but, you know, that primary representational system just tells you how they represent their inner world, you know, and you then get to mirror back to them exactly and match their mode of communication, you know, almost like your little chameleon. You want to match their, not just their primary representational system, but you also get to match their tone. Right, you get to match their rate of speed. There's some there's some people who speak really, really fast, and you need to speed up your rate of speed so that they feel comfortable. Not mocking, right? Not mocking, but that they feel comfortable. There are other people that speak a little slower. You want to slow down your rate of speed a little bit. Again, not mocking, but just to be able to be their mirror of what it is they're looking for. You know, and so your job as a salesperson is, to, you know, that mode of communication, you want to mirror that back to them.
So if we care about the people, and if we're doing something that we really care about, this becomes a good way to become just a good communicator, to make people know that you care about them. Because if you're, like you were saying, mirroring the way that they talk, the way that they hear things and how they need to take in information, then you begin to feel that connection. So everybody think about it for a second. Think of the person that you've had a conversation with and you felt really in tune with them. You really felt like they got you. Everybody got somebody in mind? You know, that person just really made me feel like they really got me. Well, that was because the person was listening to you and then talking in a way that you understood. So what are the right kind of questions?
Yeah, so the right kinds of questions are really the kinds of questions that lead you to truly understanding a couple of different things. The most important thing is, you know, what are their top values, you know, and what are their major problems? You know, so you really want to get a sense of what is important to people. And you can do that by listening to the words they say. And then you want to get a sense of, you know, what problems are they experiencing in their business. You know, so let's say, for example, you're talking to a person. You know, it really can be as simple as, you know, once you understand a little bit more, you know, about the foundation level items in their business, for example. Once you understand that a little bit better, you know, now you can look at what are the potential problems that they might have in their business. Here's the catch, Steve. Mm-hmm. Only ask questions that are going to bring up problems that you can actually solve. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you're going to ask a question about a problem that could be solved by coaching, for example, but you're not a coach, well, you might want to try a different question. Right? You want to try a different question. So you certainly want to, while allowing the conversation to be as organic as it possibly can be, you definitely want to make sure that you're still working to open up problem questions or questions for problems that you can solve. So let me give you a couple of good examples. Would that help?
Yes, please.
All right, great. So, you know, so let's say that based on some research you've done, I'm going to use a manufacturing example. You know, I'm going to use an example of a company that you might be trying to sell to that is in the manufacturing world, you know. So one of the things that you could ask them is, you know, when you talk about their problem questions is, you know, is that equipment hard to use? Right? Just, is that equipment hard to use? Mm. Now, assuming that you sell equipment, that is easy to use. That's a problem question, right? That's a problem question that you could ask. Or you might ask a question about, well, do you have problems with quality? Or, you know, quality control, is that an issue that you might have? So let me give you an example of some questions, some potential problem questions that I might ask a person if they were wanting to be a speaker. One of our programs is, you know, for folks who really want to make money and share their message as a speaker. You know, so one of the problem questions I could potentially ask somebody is, you know, are you good with the amount of money you're making from your speaking career right now? You know, or a problem question could be, you know, is your speaking business paying for itself, or do you have to invest money to it every month to meet the expenses? Right, those are problem questions that I know that my speaking program, that the problems that my speaking program could potentially solve. I'm only going to ask those. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. I mean, the worst thing you could do would be to ask a question and have the person really desperately need that and then be like, oh, well, I don't do that.
Right. Oh, sorry, I can't help you with that, but let me give you this over here that I got.
What kind of questions are you asking? What things are you asking of a person, and what should you be asking them? So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. My theme for the year is Say Yes to Success. And guess what? Our annual International Conference and Business Expo that's coming up August 6th through the 9th, we're going to have not only a wonderful lineup of speakers and thought leaders like CNN's Soledad O'Brien or Matthew Knowles, the famous father of the famous Beyonce, and Jean Smart from Designing Women, but this year you are going to be part of the experience. This is one of, if not the only conference that will balance your experience between learning from the wisdom of great speakers to hands-on living it through laser coaching, journaling, and interacting and sharing with other conference attendees. Oh yeah, and we have the best party in town on Saturday night, dancing till you drop to one of the best bands in Dallas. Visit eWomenNetwork.com for details and how you can be part of this life-changing experience as you embrace your yes to success.
Beautiful job, eWomen!
This is Steve, and I'm excited to talk to you about our sponsor, the VTech 4-Line Small Business Phone. This is the most affordable and easy-to-install 4-line phone system on the market today. Gives you the ability, as a small business owner, to have a big business phone system. And it's just as easy as being able to plug something into the outlet on the wall. If you can plug in a lamp, you can set up this phone. That's how much technical ability you need to have for it. You can have individual voicemail boxes for each of your different extensions. You can have a different auto attendant. You know, an auto attendant, that's the thing that comes on and says, thank you for having called the sales department of our company. Please press 3 to get to Joe. You know, that kind of a thing. You can have individual one of those for each one of the 4 lines. So if you have a support department and a sales department, you can have those different systems actually be answered with a different type of auto attendant. This is a phone that will revolutionize how expandable, flexible, operable, and workable your phone system for your small business is. I encourage you to check out the VTech 4-Line Small Business Phone, the most affordable and easy-to-install 4-Line phone system on the market today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve, and I'm here with Cece Clark, and we are talking today about the quality of your questions And as much as this does impact the sales of your company and making money with your company, I want to reiterate that this is about being a good communicator. This is about expressing how much you care about the people in your life. So if you learn these skills, you learn how to ask the questions and listen for the answers, guess what? You're going to become a better husband or wife. You're going to be a better parent. And you can express to the people that aren't currently in your life that you care about them.
I agree with you 200%. I say to people all the time, if you have breath in your body, you sell, right?
Yeah.
You have to sell. You have to sell to your husband or wife. You have, like you said, you have to sell to your kids. You sell your ideas. You sell, you know, your way of life. You sell your wants, your dreams, your desire. You're selling, right, at all times to everyone, every day. You know, you have to sell to your coworkers.
Hmm.
Why should they, you know, or to your team members? Right? Why should they work for what you're paying them in order to fulfill your goals and dreams? Right? It's a sell. You know, whether you're selling your vision or selling your product, whatever it is, you know, or selling, you know, for your husband to consistently take out the garbage when you'd like it to be done, right? It's a sell. It's absolutely a sell. And so it's that powerful communication that you talked about, Steve. I agree with you 2,000%.
It's just really just that important. I mean, I was laughing while you were talking about that because I remember actually just before Kathy and I got married, my dad, who's a pastor and performed the ceremony, was talking to her and he said, you know, how do you feel about this? And, you know, I know Steve is a good salesperson. Are you sure that, you know, this is something that you're invested in and not just something that he sold you on?
Right. I like that.
So
that's a good one.
But, you know, I mean, I think there's the flip side to that. Either A, we're afraid to ask questions. I know a lot of people that fall into that boat. Or we're always asking the wrong kind of questions, whether it be those things like, you know, products that we can't serve or other things. What happens when we ask the wrong questions?
Well, you know what? The easy answer is we walk ourselves right out of sale, right? Like that's the easy, simple answer. But I think even more importantly than that, we prep and prime that potential buyer for the person who will ask those questions or will ask those right questions, because you've talked to them, you've gotten them excited, you've helped them see the possibilities for their lives, right? So now, and you've gotten them thinking about it. But if you didn't ask the right questions or if you ask the wrong questions, they're still excited, they're still prepped and primed. So now the next person, you know, who may not have your heart, by the way, but who has the willingness to ask the right questions, now this person is working with him. I'll tell you a story that is kind of near and dear to my heart. There was a young lady, this was probably about a little over 2 years ago, that had expressed to me that she wanted to do coaching. And, you know, even though I had a tremendous sales background and even though I had done sales training and coaching for, gosh, a decade and a half, I had the idea of coaching was still kind of new to me. I just studied coaching, just, you know, learning the techniques, the differences between coaching and consulting, right? And so I was a little, I didn't have the level of certainty that you're required to have inside of you when you want to ask somebody for business. I really didn't have that level of certainty. And so I didn't ask her enough questions. And truly, I didn't ask her enough questions, enough of those hard questions, because frankly, it made me uncomfortable, Steve. Like, I knew that this woman was spending more money in her business than she was making. I knew you know, that was having an impact on her relationships. I knew what that was doing to her self-esteem, yet I did not ask questions that would bring all of that to the surface for her. And as a result, you know, the value of my coaching, I didn't build it up. And I didn't get the sale. And, you know, it was okay. I didn't get the sale. But here was the problem. I saw a post from her on Facebook about a month and a half later. Yeah, about a month and a half later. And she was talking about her coaching experience with a coach that she had just fired. And she was saying that she was really, really disappointed because she had invested all of this money with this coach, and the coach just didn't listen to her. The coach guy was trying to guide her to do something that wasn't in her heart, you know, and she said that the coach kept telling her, well, this is what's going to make you money. If you want to make money, you have to do it this way. And I knew that other coach. And I knew that that other coach, I mean, as she was describing, was not a right fit. I knew where that other coach's heart. And from that moment on, it broke my heart, Steve. Like, it literally broke my heart reading that post, because I knew, I felt as if I allowed her to go through that. I allowed myself, my stuff, my inner chatter, my lack of certainty to prevent me from asking her the questions that were necessary for me to ask in order for her to bring her problems really to the surface so she could look at them and see them and truly evaluate them against my $15,000 at the time price tag.
Wow.
Right? But because I didn't do that, this was the situation she found herself in a month and a half later.
Hmm. I think that's so impactful and so important that I think everybody needs to just stop for a second. I know a lot of people listen, and obviously if you're driving the car, don't, you know, crash or something. But take a minute if you're Facebooking or, you know, doing other things while you're listening, and you can take a minute and think for just a second about that. We find ourselves resistant to selling because we don't want to be that salesperson. We've talked about that. But what if you flipped that script? What if that person really needs what you were put on this earth to provide and you don't give it to them? I mean, A, that's selfish, but B, their life is less than it can be right now. I'm not saying that the world, God, the universe, whatever you believe in, won't find a way to answer that need in their life. But we need to understand that we are here for a reason. And that reason isn't just because, you know, there needs to be so many people on the planet in order to keep it rotating properly. You know, you're here to make the impact on the lives of the people that you come in contact with. And if you were meant to help somebody and you don't help them because of your stuff over asking for them to do business with you is getting in the way of them having the breakthrough that they need. Wow, Cece, that's huge.
Thank you. Yeah, it really impacted me. I mean, it really impacted me in a major way. And I'm so glad you said, you know, our stuff getting in the way, because that's exactly what it was. And in that moment, I'm going to tell you, I did some things that truly made a difference. You know, one, I made her a part of my why, right? Because I never wanted another person to be robbed of their dream. And that's what she felt. She felt as if she had been robbed of her dream. So I did a couple of things. One, I made her a part of my why. you know. So my why was big. I knew, I understood why I wanted to share my message. I knew why I wanted to help people, you know, really break through and make money in business, right? But I made her a part of my why. And I thought about her, and I journaled about her, and I did whatever I could do so that that image, that Facebook post, stayed at the forefront of my mind. The other thing I did is I really went through and I did some heart work, you know, and because I feel that, you know, all of our stuff, as you called it, is all connected to a time when life broke our heart. And typically it's not a time when, it's typically the first time life broke our heart, right? And so I literally went back, Steve, and I spent some time understanding what happened to me as when life broke my heart. And the thing that I know about it is when life broke your heart, you made three different decisions. You made a decision about yourself. You made a decision about the person or persons involved. And then you made a decision about life. In that very moment, no matter if you were 5 years old when it happens, 8, 9, 11, it doesn't matter. All of us go through the same process. We decide something about ourselves, something about the person or persons involved, and something about life. And then what we do, Steve, is we go through life living through the filter of that of those three decisions that we made. So everything comes out tasting as if, right? Mm-hmm. Tasting as if it had gone through that filter. Mm-hmm. You know? And so, and that's how we live our lives. And so literally the second thing I did was I checked in with my heart and I took myself back to that moment, like broke my heart. I figured out what those decisions had made. I figured out where I saw those things show up in my life. Because, Steve, how you do anything is how you do everything. Right? So how I showed up in my conversation with that woman was the same way I showed up in my conversations, you know, with a coworker, with a team member, with an employee, with a client, with my spouse, with my nieces and nephews, right? How you do anything is how you do everything. So I literally, the second thing I had to do was I had to check in with that and make sure I understood how it was impacting me. But then the third thing I did is I really said, I need to go about reprogramming, right? So now that I understood those decisions and how they were impacting me, I went about trying to say, let me reprogram it. How do I... You know, how do I disconnect those neural pathways and connect new, more powerful ones that make sense for not just for who I am today, but for who I see myself in 2020 and 2030 and 2040? You know, so how do I reprogram myself and how do I reprogram my brain to be the person that I choose to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I never had that issue again. and don't get me wrong, like sometimes it pops up, right? Sometimes it'll pop up, but I go back through that process. All right, why am I doing this? Mm. Why am I here? You know, what's that filter? What is that filter? And then, oh, that's right, I reprogrammed myself to this. It's just simply a matter of going back through your process.
And that really becomes the key, is so you go through a process with a person, with a customer, with a potential client, and it doesn't hit the bullseye. You don't get the sale. You come out of the conversation, you're like, man, I really wish I would have said such and such. Mm-hmm. I give you permission right now today to, A, let that go, and B, as Sandra was talking about a couple of weeks ago, actually, you know, to review, to not just plan and do, but to review what went right and where, you know, things went wrong. and then you can do better next time. You know, I mean, there's always a next opportunity, whether it be in conversations with people or whether it be in the sales process, to do it differently. We want to make sure that we really give people an opportunity to go deeper with you. I feel like we've just kind of barely even scratched the surface of this. What could a person do that's just like, oh, Cece, help me. I want to learn how to do this better. What could a person do to work with you?
Absolutely. You know what? I first of all love being connected with people on social media. I am highly interactive there. I love engaging with people. I love talking to people. I love answering questions. So I can be found everywhere at Just Ask CC. That's Just JUST Ask ASK CC CECE. That's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Skype, you name it. Just Ask CC is where you can find me. And if you want to email me, just email me directly at cece@motivatingthemasses.com. That's cece@motivatingthemasses.com. I'd love to answer your questions and talk to you about, you know, how what we do as a company or what I do as a coach and as a sales trainer could really impact you and impact your business.
I have seen just a little bit behind the curtain, so I know just how impactful both of those invitations are. Cece is not somebody who's desperate for business. In fact, I know Motivating the Masses well enough to know that all y'all are always constantly trying to figure out how you could find a way to coach one more person.
It's a quality problem, Steve. It's a quality problem.
And so for Cece to offer you her email address, which I can guarantee you does go directly to her and she's going to answer it, that's huge. That's giant. So I encourage you. And that was Just Ask Cece, right?
Yep, that's it. Just Ask Cece. That's my handle on all social media: Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Skype, Instagram. You can find me. Just Ask Cece. Yes.
So I encourage you, take the opportunity to be able to do that. Well, we need to wrap things up here. Let's leave people with some things they can do.
I really think the most important thing you can do, guys, for your businesses and really to take it to the next levels, I want you to do two things for me. One, I want you to start with one product or service that you offer. And I want you to write a list of all of the potential problems your service is likely to solve. Whatever your product or service is, I want you to write down a whole list. And then once you get that list together, I want you to develop two types of questions against each of those problems. The first type of question is called an impact question, right? And so those impact questions are really about what's the impact of that problem. How would this help you, for example? Or, you know, what happens to your business if you go another 6 months this way? How does spending, you know, 80 hours a week at work, how is that impacting your family relationships? Whatever the potential problem is, I want you to put together some questions, a line of questioning that help explore that problem and really understand the impact of that problem. When you can do that, your cost of your solution goes from being a cost to being an investment. And then the second types of questions I want you to just list out for all of those problems is, you know, what's the potential value or payoff that you get or that a person could get from working with you, right? And just ask questions like, you know, is this something that you'd really want to solve for? Or what would be the benefit if you got this solved? You know, or what it would mean to you to be able to spend more time with your son, right? So just so that it helps them see or helps them be focused on the solution and have them telling you what are the benefits of working with you, what are the benefits of being your client, you know? And so, and I think the other thing that does is it helps them when they have to to sell your solution either to their husband or their wife or their, you know, their spouse or their boss or their coworkers or whomever they need to sell to by you asking these types of, we call them need payoff questions, right? By you asking them questions like that, it really helps them to clarify, articulate the benefits of working with you. And again, if you're doing that, you're not selling, they're buying.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, I hope that everybody will do that homework assignment, that they will contact Cece.
When they do their homework, wait, I forgot to say this, Steve.
Okay.
When you do your homework, we want you to share it, right? Because we have to share it with the world. People want to know what you're up to, and people want to know what you're doing, and we want to help hold you accountable, and I'm going to be looking for them. So when you share it, I want you to share it using, share it on Facebook, share it on Twitter, whatever your problem questions are, your impact, your need payoff questions, I want you to share it with us at #ThrivingEntrepreneur. That's #ThrivingEntrepreneur. And then I want you to also #JustAskCC. That's #JustAskCC and #ThrivingEntrepreneur. Okay, forgot that. Sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
All right. Well, Cece, I just really appreciate you taking the time out. I know how busy your schedule is, and I really appreciate you taking the time today. Before you go on vacation and enjoy a little bit of time yourself.
Thank you. I can't wait.
Just like you said, we'll have to have you back and we'll talk for hours and hours and hours more about this kind of thing. But thank you so much for spending the time with us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you and I appreciate the work you do for the world.
Well, thank you. Until then, I want everybody to really do the work. So Cece gave you a homework assignment. I'm sorry, a growth work assignment. I like that phrase. I gotta incorporate that into my vocabulary.
It's good. Have it.
And then hashtag us and let us know so that we can see and we can help. You know, I mean, if there's something you're struggling with, contact us. Let us know. We'd be glad to help you out. Next week, we will be having on a good friend of mine from the local Portland area, and we're going to be talking about creation of books and taking, whether it be you speak or whatever you have, and putting it down in printed form. So some of you that have had the dream of being a published author, we're going to talk in more detail with Michelle Brubaker about that next week. Until next week, I want you to remember that you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. The world needs you. Now go out and live your life as a thriving entrepreneur today. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Are you ready to be a celebrity expert in your field? Are you your own best-kept secret? Do you have talents you want to share with the world? Are you ready to be seen as an authority? Do you have a message you need to share with the world? You know to your core you can help people if you could just reach them. Kathy and I want to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. Are you ready for this? How would you like to be recognized on top media outlets? What would becoming an Amazon bestseller do for your business? How many people could you inspire? And it doesn't take a lifetime. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take months. In fact, in just 60 minutes, you will become a celebrity expert in your field. In 30 days, you will be a best-selling author, and you will be seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox, and the Wall Street Journal. How does this work? Will you be interviewed on our show, Thriving Entrepreneur, which will then be broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and many others, as well as promoted to a network that has a database of over 500,000 people. Your expert interview will be published in your very own book, which is guaranteed to hit best-selling author status on Amazon. Your name and the book title will appear in major media outlets, including ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN. We can guarantee that. Plus, as a bonus, you'll get a custom social media package to promote your book and an MP3 of your interview with 5 key tips on how you can repurpose the content for marketing and sales. Don't be the best kept secret. Get ready to play an A game and be the authority in your field. Go to wehelpyouthrive.com and click on the authority package to get yours today.